Good morning and welcome to this morning's worship, Newport on Tay via Zoom, if you haven't guessed. Today is the second Sunday of Lent and it's wonderful to have you all worshipping with us. Let us bring our hearts to the Lord. There's a couple of announcements. One is that for those who are paying attention to the housekeeping will have noticed the World Day of Prayer on Friday. Details for that can be found via Jane Campbell or via the church website. Also, our lovely minister has been doing reflections on a daily basis, and I hope many of us have been listening to those. So please do visit the website, and you don't have to catch up. You can just start from tomorrow if you like, but do listen to those. And others will have noticed on the housekeeping some beautiful photos of the local area. If you see something that's particularly lovely and you happen to have a camera handy, do take a snap and send it to either the church email or to Graham Johnson, and we'll try to include it to add a bit of joy to everyone's heart. And speaking of joy, let us turn our hearts to our God. The call to worship today comes from Psalm 25, verses 6 through to 14. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. For you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. Amen. Now we'll continue our worship with the wonderful hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Thank you. Let us pray. God, the Creator, we come in awe of you. We are overwhelmed by the wonder of your creation. We are inspired by the mystery of life. We are amazed by the beauty of your world. We are astonished that such a God would have anything to do with the likes of us. So we kneel before you in awe and wonder, humbled before your greatness. God, the Son, who has come amongst us in the person of Jesus Christ, you've walked our streets, you have lifted our children, you have sat in our churches, and you have accepted the way of the cross. So we come with you beside us, no longer remote and distant. We come no longer in fear and trembling, but seeking the embrace of your love, the smile of your acceptance, the touch of your forgiveness. We dare to come close to you because you have come close to us. God, the Spirit of life, we are thankful for your constant presence, for the healing of your love, for the challenge of your word, for the inspiration of your gospel, for the community of your church. Renew us and refresh us. Enable us and enliven us, challenge us and change us, prompt us and improve us. Improve us in our worship, in our mission, and in our service, in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all to your glory. And now we remember our other needs before Almighty God, in the words our Lord and Savior gave us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We sing again on our hymn this time, Lord, I lift your name on high.
Our first reading this morning comes from the letter to the Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 to 10. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Our second reading comes from Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 to 42. Matthew 12 from verse 38. Some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to Jesus, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now one greater than Solomon is here." Amen. These are God's words, and we thank him for them. Our next hymn, "On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross."
I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Let us pray. God of all wisdom and glory, grace us with the presence of your Spirit that we might hear today's word with understanding and imagination. This we pray in your holy and good name. Amen. An evil generation is asking for a sign. An evil and adulterous generation is asking for a sign. I read this rather anecdotal story recently somewhere. One Sunday morning, a cop in a small town saw a car swerving all over the road. When he pulled him over, he recognized an African-American driver named Frank. "Frank, you are swerving all over the road." "I'm just trying to get to church, man." The cop saw a bottle on the seat beside the driver. "What's that on your seat, Frank?" "It's just water. Give it to me." "That's not water, that's wine." Frank just looked up to heaven and said, "He done did it again," referring to Jesus turning water into wine. Dear friends, so often we as the people of God are following signs and wonders, but the signs and wonders should be following us. Jesus Christ said to the religious leaders of his day, "An evil and adulterous generation is asking for a sign." The confrontation between Jesus and the Pharisees over the Sabbath and the source of his miraculous powers had led to another attempt to entrap Jesus. We are told some teachers of religious law and Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want you to show us a miraculous sign to prove your authority." Jesus Christ had already performed many miracles publicly, some of which the Pharisees had witnessed firsthand. If the Pharisees were open to God's message, they would have accepted that Jesus was the Messiah. Instead, their hardened hearts had rejected the miracles authenticating power, and they had used those same miracles as the basis of the charge that he was a satanic tool. Our Lord recognized their evil intentions and motives and refused to fall into their trap. Instead, he categorized them as belonging to an evil and adulterous generation. Because according to Jesus, it is this kind of generation that asks for signs. And even though they were evil and adulterous and inevitably destined for judgment and even condemnation, Jesus nevertheless added that they were not going to receive any sign except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the men of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. And the point here is that to the Ninevites, Jonah himself was God's sign, and Jonah's words were God's message. Now, dear friends, what Jesus is saying is that you are asking for a sign. I am God's sign. But you have failed to recognize me. The Ninevites recognized God's warning in Jonah. The Queen of Sheba recognized God's wisdom in Solomon. In me, there has come to you a greater wisdom than Solomon ever had, and a greater message than Jonah ever brought. But you are so blind that you cannot see the truth, and so deaf that you cannot hear the warning. And for that very reason, the day will come when these people of old time, who recognized God when they saw him, will be witnesses against you, who had so much better a chance and failed to recognize God because you refused to do so. Dear friends, here is a tremendous truth. Jesus Christ is God's sign. Just as Jonah was God's message to the Ninevites, and Solomon God's wisdom to the Queen of Sheba. The one real question in life is, what is our reaction when we are confronted with God in Jesus Christ? Is that reaction bleak hostility, as it was in the case of the scribes and Pharisees, or is it humble acceptance of God's warning and God's truth, as it was in the case of the people of Nineveh and of the Queen of Sheba? And the all-important question is, what do you think of Jesus Christ? An evil and adulterous generation is asking for a sign. When Jesus Christ referred to the religious leaders of his day as evil and adulterous, he was employing a favorite Old Testament prophetic picture. The relationship between Israel and God was conceived of as a marriage bond with God, the husband, and Israel, the bride. When Israel became unfaithful and gave her love to other gods, the nation was said to be adulterous. Even when Israel had been put away for infidelity by God, Judah did not take the warning and still played the harlot. Her whoredoms defiled the land, and she committed adultery with stone and tree. An evil and adulterous generation describes something worse than physical adultery. It describes that infidelity to God from which all sin, physical and spiritual, springs. My dear friend, what would you qualify as evil and adulterous in your own Christian life, in the life of the church, in the life of our country, and in the world? I think a common one is our lack of trust in God Almighty, especially in times of adversity, when the going is rough and tough, and when sorrow and sickness takes away the good life that we so long to have and to keep. Many of us do not trust that God is with us in those places of hurt and disappointment. And I'm sad to say that I know people who have left the church, or whose faith has dwindled to a mere trickle because they thought God was really absent from their life or their circumstances at a particular time. God is always there, but he is there on his own terms and not ours. And we learn from the book of Hebrews that Jesus learned obedience from what he suffered. So infidelity to God is when we disregard also the commandments of God or try to change them to suit our cultures and traditions. It is when we try to redefine God in our own terms because we think scripture, as it is, does not favor our own bodily lusts and cravings and way of life. But when we try to create a God like that, a God that is other than the true God of scripture, we deceive ourselves. Dear friends, possibly the most debilitating deception of all is to create a God of my own making, fool myself into believing that this limp God of mine is the true God, and then construct the entirety of my life on this flamboyantly fictional character. Possibly the most devastating realization of all is when the real God shows up. And in the showing up, all of this come crashing down. Are you trying to create your own God? You see, friends, the Jews made the mistake of looking for God not in the ordinary things of life, but in the abnormal spheres. They wanted something mystical. But our Lord Jesus Christ never promoted a magical or esoteric faith, but faith that is built solely upon the conviction that God will do what he says he will do. And the one who believes what God says is the one who trusts the very nature and ability of God. But the one who only believes after God proves it with a sign is a skeptic who is uncertain whether God will or God can. That is not the kind of faith God is looking for. God is always around us and shows himself to us continually in the ordinary things of everyday life. A person who is seeking for signs and wonders has turned God into a personal genie in a bottle. And because of that, when God fails to come through for them, they often turn away from him completely. An evil and adulterous generation is asking for a sign. But faithful people are patient with God. Because even if we find ourselves in danger, Christ is always with us. Let us pray. Our God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to us again this morning through the message of your holy word. And we confess again for times when we have not put our trust in you, and when we've tried to redefine who you are and what you are. Help us, O merciful Father, to be patient with you. Help us, O Father, to trust you that what you say you will do. And even when we face times of difficulty, help us, O Father, to know that you are there with us. This and many more we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness, our next hymn.
continue our worship in our response to God's word through our prayers of thanksgiving, dedication, and our prayers for others. Let us pray. Loving and generous Father God, we come to you empty in ourselves, but overflowing with the riches of your grace, the free gift of eternal life in your Son, Jesus, whom we call Christ and Lord, the free gift of the Holy Spirit, who binds us together and empowers us as a church, the free gift of earth and sunshine and water, the presence of which enables life to thrive and brings us food and all the other things we need. For all this, we thank you, loving and generous Father God. Please accept and bless our offerings of devotion and service, of worship and love, of time and of money. We humbly pray that all we have and all we do and all that we are may be given ungrudgingly to you and wisely put to your service, to the furtherance of your kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, may it be so. Amen. And we'll continue with our prayers for others. Dear Father God, it can be so difficult to know where to start, to know how to pray for the needs of our family and friends, for the needs of the people around us, for the needs of the people we may never even meet, all of whom need your loving presence and your help in their lives. Help us to pray for them now, through your Holy Spirit, for we know that you hear our words, you hear our cries, you hear our tears, you even hear our silences. Dear Father, your Son Jesus had compassion and restored people to wholeness by not only healing their bodies, but also forgiving their sins. Please send your Holy Spirit to do the same today, so that the people for whom you have put compassion in our hearts may know that same healing and forgiveness. Dear Father, your Son Jesus spoke truth to power, putting his own life in grave danger. Be present and strengthen people who suffer oppression and violence in the home, in schools, in the workplace, in our community, so that we may all live together the promise of freedom that was bought by the death of our Lord Jesus on the cross. Dear Father, your Son Jesus spoke wisdom that changed lives and continues to change lives today. Give wisdom to our leaders in the church, in government, in business and industry, in our community, in science, in health and social care. Help them to use the good gifts you give to help others, especially those who have no other help available to them. Dear Father, your Son Jesus, during his days on earth, offered prayers and petitions. With fervent cries and tears, he called to you. You, Father, the only one who could save him from death. And you heard him because he came to you in reverent submission. And so we too offer up our prayers in the spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, and knowing that like him, our prayers will be heard by you. Amen. We continue our worship with the hymn, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me.
Rock of ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy rib inside which flow be a sin the double cure. Save me from.
Let us now affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. A final hymn is Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Thank you.
peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world. Good morning, everyone.